This is Willie Terry, your roaming labor correspondent. On Tuesday, December the 7th, I attended an online Zoom webinar with the organization called Code Pink. Code Pink is a women-led grassroots organization working to end U.S. wars and militarism. They support peace and human rights initiatives, and they want the government to redirect our tax dollars into health care, education, green jobs, and other life-affirming programs. Now, this meeting was their monthly call-in webinar, and they were calling on Congress to pass Bill H.R. 5335, which is No Militarization of Space Act, and to abolish the Trump-created Space Force. At this webinar, Congresswoman Maxine Waters from California, a longtime human rights activist, spoke. She had some interesting things to say about what was going on in Congress and why she support H.R. 5335, the No Militarization of Space Act. In this labor segment, you will hear some excerpts from her presentation.
Congresswoman Waters represents California's 43rd congressional district, which includes Los Angeles, Inglewood, Gardena, parts of Torrance. She has been in Congress since 1991, a long time. Before that, she was in the California State Assembly, very outspoken, urging divestment from South Africa over South Africa's apartheid. And she has been recently out in front, calling for more humane policy toward the Haitians who are being deported en masse from the United States. So welcome, Congresswoman Waters. Perhaps you'd like to share with us a few of your thoughts about what's going on right now on the floor of the House and your priorities as chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee.
Thank you so very much for, the kind introduction. And so I responded to the request to be with you this evening because basically you're interested in H.R. 5335, the No Militarization of Space Act. Now, before I get into that, we're working late this evening because we have some very important legislation to try and deal with. We have the question of the debt limit, and I think we're going to have a vote in about an hour or so on debt limit to see if we can, solve that issue and do what we have to do to increase the debt limit in order to pay our bills. And so that's very important. We're all on pins and needles about what's happening with Build Back Better over on the Senate side. We have done our work here in the House, and we put together a very, very good bill. This was actually Biden's vision about what was possible to give support to our families and to our children. And so it's a great piece of legislation. We don't have full support for it. As a matter of fact, when we first envisioned this bill, it was a $6 trillion bill. And so, as you know, there was a lot of wrestling and wrangling and discussion and negotiations, what have you. We could not get the support of two individuals, Democrats on the Senate side, Manchin, and of course, what was happening with that. With that, we were able to continue to move legislation, but it was reduced tremendously. Sinema and Manchin have not let up, basically. And so the bill has been whittled down, and I don't even know if we're at $2 trillion or $2 trillion plus now in the bill. But I focused on housing because, that's in my committee as chair of the Financial Services Committee. I have HUD, and I started out with $327 billion to attend to the needs of our communities relative to housing. We have homelessness. We have people who work every day and cannot afford the increasing rent. We have people who are paying over 50% of their income for rent. And we have those who are being evicted and on the streets. And the homeless problem is off the scale. And so we worked very hard. Our bill got cut back in the negotiations, but we were able to come out of it with $170 billion. And that's in the bill that we sent over to the Senate. And that bill basically covers a number of things. It covers the National Housing Trust Fund that was created when Barney Frank was here as chair and I worked with him. And that's to build affordable housing and to support subsidies for those who can build affordable housing and want to do it. In addition to that, we had about $25 billion in there for a combination of the home program and the CDBG program. This is monies that we send to the cities, and they have the flexibility to use that for housing. They can subsidize housing in many different ways. We had a tremendous amount of money in there for public housing. As a matter of fact, I think the biggest amount was in there. Public housing has deteriorated in this country, and people are living in unsafe conditions. And so we have elevators that don't work, trash systems that have been broken for a long time. And of course, many of the buildings in New York in particular last winter didn't have any heat. And so I think we ended up with about $60 billion in order to deal with the thousands upon thousands of public housing units in this country. And in addition to that, you know, we have about $10 billion in the bill for this new generation, first generation would-be homeowners that cannot save up enough money for a down payment, but they're working every day, some of them in the gig economy with two and three jobs. They can afford to pay a mortgage, but saving the money for a down payment has been very hard. And so we have some money, that $10 billion in the bill, to assist the first generation home buyers. So we have a lot that's going on here. We have the National Defense Bill that's up. We're working late. We are dealing with, you know, many of the activities that have been created to try and deal with voter suppression, to try and deal with the fact that our democracy is at stake. And as you listen to the commission that has been appointed by Nancy Pelosi to investigate what took place when our Capitol was invaded, an insurrection took place in this country. And we had a president who not only helped to organize it, but is defending it. And we have members on the opposite side of the aisle, many who are aligned with or belong to the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the KKK, QAnon, all of these domestic terrorist groups, and many representatives on the opposite side of the aisle who are defending them and who supposed to be patriots, but they are part of this conspiracy that's undermining our democracy. So this is an important time in the history of this country, and we're working hard to try and at least maintain the leadership in the House. And even if there's a tie vote in the Senate, that Kamala Harris is there to always break that vote, but with two members of the Democratic Party, Manchin and Sinema, who are not working with us, it is painful. It is very difficult. We're just stunned by that lack of cooperation in the ways that we're trying to make sure that we have a government that's attending to the real needs of the people.
If you could share with us, Congresswoman Waters, why you chose to co-sponsor the No Militarization of Space Act.
Oh, thank you very much. And I think this is important to focus on, because as you talk about the military budget, there are those who will find ways to enhance that budget however they possibly can. And this No Militarization of Space Act would eliminate the Space Force within 1 year of ratification, transfer all authorities, duties, functions, missions, personnel, units, facilities, and assets to the appropriate command of the armed forces. The problem with the Space Force, this Space Force constitute a flagrantly wasteful use of taxpayer dollars. U.S. military spending toppled, as you said, $704 billion in fiscal year 2021, including a staggering $15.5 billion for this so-called Space Force. The Space Force also unnecessarily duplicated much of the existing work within the Air Force, including that of Space Command, thereby creating bureaucratic confusion and further waste and risking American and allied national security. It was largely perceived as a vanity project from the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. And this legislation is necessary. It's necessary because the longstanding neutrality of space has fostered a competitive, non-militarized, multinational age of exploration, underpinned by the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, which restricts the placement of weapons of mass destruction in space and banned military maneuvers on celestial bodies. So as we continue to address urgent domestic and international priorities, such as battling COVID, climate change, and growing economic inequality, our mission must be to support the American people, not spend billions on the militarization of space.